Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
The rollout of the COVID vaccine was a globally coordinated effort that saved millions of lives. But it also generated so much misinformation that the World Health Organization coined the phrase infodemic to describe it. The messages varied hugely, from it being untested to it being part of a racist plot.
It's easy from the outside to say, well, why don't these black people want to get the vaccine? Once you get that information and you understand why somebody would choose sometimes death over trusting a system that has failed them.
But for some communities, believing the rumors was easier than trusting the officials because of historical racism. I'm Babita Sharma, and this is the documentary Whose Truth? A series where we meet Nobel Prize laureates whose work is being shaken and undermined by fake news and conspiracy theories, and the new generation taking up the challenge to question it and coming up with some answers.
You know, I try to understand what is behind it. People who had no knowledge and no experience, they are so confident that they know the answer.
In this episode, how misinformation around the COVID vaccine created fear and mistrust in a vaccination program to bring the world out of lockdown. How do young people navigate this tidal wave of mis and disinformation, and what tools are they using? And what can scientists learn from them?
I should go to prison, I should be hanged, I committed crime against humanity, and they were, you know, vicious.
Kathleen Carrico was behind one of the vaccines that helped bring the world out of lockdown. She was awarded a Nobel Prize for it, but no sooner was the vaccine rolled out than she found herself at the centre of a disinformation tsunami.
Welcome to the programme. Beijing has cancelled all major public events for the Lunar New Year, even closing the iconic tourist spot of the Forbidden City as authorities try to contain the spread of the new coronavirus. Now, this comes.
Remember how in 2020, our lives, from Australia to the Amazon, were turned upside down by this new virus with the potential to infect millions. There was no cure, so we were instructed to isolate, wear masks, stay at home. The world went into lockdown.
It was unimaginable. I remember 2020 when I was reading that in China that they have to stay inside and all of these restrictions. I couldn't imagine that it would happen here. And then all of a sudden, oh, okay, we cannot go to the store and we couldn't buy things. And it was just unbelievable.
Kathleen Carrico and her colleague, Drew Wiseman, helped develop one of the vaccines using mRNA technology, for which they received the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 2023.
It all started with 90-year-old Maggie Keenan at 6:30 this morning.
I wasn't nervous at all. It was really good, yeah.
Newsbeat.
It was one of the biggest global vaccination campaigns ever undertaken. And Kathleen, who devoted her life to working on mRNA, was confident of the vaccine's success and struggled to understand some of the reactions to it.
They said that the vaccine contains different metals, the vaccine has chips in it, and we want to eliminate, kill the people by that. And these people just learn immunology on Facebook or somewhere in social media. And then all of a sudden they put together things which scared other people taking the vaccine, and then many people paid with their life. So as a scientist, I usually like to be in the laboratory and thinking about different things. And all of a sudden I was rushed to the spotlight, and I tried to take this opportunity to talk, educate the people, because this is very important. You know, we have to educate, engage, debates is needed, because there are genuinely people who wanted to know how this new vaccine works.
Rachel Schreyer is the BBC's health reporter who specialises in disinformation. She describes how and why some of the bad information around the vaccine went viral.
We see some broad themes which we've seen, you know, time and again with vaccines across history, which broadly will be that vaccines are either unnecessary, so we can do other things, we don't need vaccines, and we can do things around hygiene or medication or whatever. There are themes that the vaccines don't work. And then the really big and kind of pervasive one that we saw with COVID and that we've seen with other vaccines is that vaccines are really harmful and that they are killing more people than they save, which is not the case. But in order for a vaccine to be approved, scientists have to prove that they have more benefit than harm. And then that will take different forms. So something that became really prevalent during COVID, but again, was not new, was this idea that vaccines harm fertility. And then the sort of extreme end of that is this belief that some people have that vaccines are part of a wider sort of sinister plot, that they're being pushed by governments who want to depopulate or track or control the population. And that's where we see some of that more extreme and slightly more fringe narratives, like that vaccines contain microchips, for example.
For Dr. Carrico and the public health authorities, the mix of these false messages was a huge concern.
Yes, unfortunately, disinformation caused many deaths. And people just so much believed. I was reading about in an emergency situation that even the patient is dying, is still denying that there is a virus. And then when the vaccine was available and they refused because they were so convinced that they are healthy, and because they were listening to people who were talking to this part, and then they believed and they died.
You and BioNTech worked in partnership with Pfizer on the vaccine to get it rolled out quickly and on a mass scale. Where do you stand in terms of your role as a scientist aligning with these big companies?
I have to say that I am getting so upset when Big Pharma is attacked. You know, I cannot understand. You know, I met those people who I work together. They are just like me. You know, they are diligent scientists, experts, everybody trying to do their best and work so hard. And then it was just like people judge them. I mean, the company is making profit, but you know that how many products they try to develop and fails.
ServiceNow unterstützt ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI. Aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
I'm Suzanne Wilton, and for more than two decades, I've been searching for the truth behind the world's largest gold hoax.
We were sitting on one of the largest gold deposits that the world had ever found.
A mother lode across the world in Indonesia.
A billion-dollar con on a scale never seen before or since.
It looks like they've invented the deposit.
This is a scam.
And the deeper I dig, the more questions I unearth.
People were willing to roll the dice at any cost.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the documentary Whose Truth from the BBC World Service. COVID was a challenge for nearly everyone, but it really shone a light on the inequality and discrimination in health. The death rate for Black African or Black Caribbean ethnic groups was 2.5 times higher than for white people here in the UK. And those disparities were reflected in the US too, particularly in large cities where black neighbourhoods were hit much harder than their wealthier white neighbours.
As you know, Baltimore is a very populated city. It's a lot of people in Baltimore, especially in our poorer areas. And so COVID happening to my community was really drastic.
Young Elder is a songwriter and community activist from Baltimore. She was in her senior year of high school when the pandemic hit. It disrupted her education and home life and that of everyone around her.
Not everybody had equal access to the resources that we needed to take care of ourselves, whether that be medical resources or just regular resources like jobs or food or to purchase the things that they need, whether it be laptops for school so that the kids could go to school.
So it's perhaps surprising to hear that the resistance to having the vaccine in her Baltimore community was so strong.
A lot of times people were saying that the vaccine could give you COVID, the vaccine could cause birth defects, and there were rumors, like you said, there were different rumors, rumors that didn't even make sense, like your skin would become magnetic, like just a lot of different rumors, and we never had a solid source to go to. Our source was social media. So different rumors like the vaccine doesn't work or the vaccine is a chip. Oh, that was definitely one too, you know, they're trying to plant a chip in us. It was a lot of different reactions to the vaccine. And those reactions made it difficult for people to want to get the vaccine.
Social media and the internet spread a lot of the misinformation and the disinformation around the COVID vaccine. What impact do you think that had on the information sharing between your community and people and what they were seeing? Were they only seeing the bad stuff, not the good stuff?
Yes, nobody was really seeing any good stuff. There was no good stuff that we were seeing about the vaccine. We didn't know what to listen to. We didn't know what to follow. Social media, you're following people that you know. So the people that you know are saying that this is happening with the vaccine or that is happening with the vaccine. You're going to trust the people you know, even if their sources aren't credible.
Why do you think the rumors, that sort of disinformation around the vaccine, was so long lasting? Like they really took hold on some people.
Well, the reason why they took hold was due to the history and the background of manipulation that has happened to Black people and people of color within the medical system. It wasn't that this specific rumor was so powerful that it convinced people, oh, I shouldn't get the vaccine. It was a history of malpractice of Black people, whether that be the Tuskegee experiment, where Black men were injected with syphilis and went untreated, or just different controversies that have affected Black people in negative ways.
The Tuskegee syphilis study that Young Elder spoke about was a medical trial targeting Black people. It involved withholding treatment from hundreds of men, which resulted in many preventable deaths. Its impact had reverberations globally and was cited by Black communities as a factor in COVID vaccine hesitancy here in the UK too. If Doc says it's good, then trust me, it's good. Now let's all get the vaccine. Get the vaccine changed and help us stay safe. Which is why the work of Hip Hop Public Health was so useful to bridge the gap between people and science. They worked on a campaign that tackled some of these issues head on, using a cartoon that gave prominence to voices from the Black community. They don't trust the vaccine, 'cause it may end up 16. New York-based Hip Hop Public Health was founded by neurologist and behavior change expert Dr. Olajide Williams and hip hop artist Dougie Fresh to construct a new approach to health education. Young Elder appeared in one of their COVID videos.
So Hip Hop Public Health was a network that was working towards ending the rumors and the stigma around COVID-19 and the vaccine. And we were working with producer Artie Green and different doctors from New York who produced a cartoon. And this cartoon was responsible for depicting local areas. They did one in New York, and we had the opportunity to depict Baltimore and show what Baltimore was like in cartoon form. And offer the facts that we had learned about COVID-19 to share with our peers and to share with our family. And this representation was powerful because it provided people something secure, something credible that they could trust to get their information and answer their questions about the vaccine.
It seemed, from watching it, quite relatable as well. Why do you think it was so important to do this?
It was really important because we needed the facts from somebody that we could trust, from somebody who looked like us, from somebody that we believed wouldn't be feeding us false information. So through this cartoon, we were able to serve as a representation of real people, real leaders in Baltimore who have gotten the vaccine and who have done their own research and have worked with credible doctors to get the information, to get the facts about the vaccine, and to find out the effects that it has on Black people.
So getting the message right is crucial, along with using community and familiar voices. Rachel Schreyer from BBC Disinformation says that these techniques help boost vaccine take-up in the UK, but points out that there are lessons to be learnt for the future.
If there isn't the access and the education to put those concerns at rest, those things then take on a life of their own and kind of the rumour mill spreads.
Are you able to assess the consequences of this spread of disinformation?
Well, I think we can see it playing out now. You know, it's not just to do with the COVID vaccine, but there are now falls in routine childhood vaccines around the world. We do have experts and kind of community leaders linking that to concerns that came about during COVID. And people who became very worried about the COVID vaccine are now looking with a more suspicious eye at other jabs as well.
Was there a particular region that was worst affected by the spread of disinformation around the world?
It's a huge and it's a global problem, and it's certainly not that it's in one country and one community. Something that we do see is that there is a relationship between trust in governments and the strength of democracies and, you know, a vulnerability to misinformation. So we often see in countries with states where there is that lower trust that people are more likely to believe in misinformation. But of course, even in sort of wealthy or stronger democracies or kind of higher status groups, we still saw belief in misinformation, even sometimes spread by kind of doctors and scientists themselves. So it's not as simple as saying it's coming from this country or it's only affecting certain groups. It's really a broad issue that has many different complex factors.
So it's about trust, with all the conflicting information about how the virus started and the crowded and noisy landscape. Billions of people around the world received a vaccine against COVID. One vaccine from AstraZeneca saved millions of lives, but also caused rare blood clots in a handful of people. 3 years later, it has been taken off the market because the company says the virus has mutated to a degree that its vaccine is no longer commercially effective. So, how do the scientists behind the vaccine suggest we build trust? Kathleen Carrico again.
I really trust the data. So where the virus was coming from, I don't spend any minute about it because I don't know. And it is not important at that point. For me, it is that the virus is here. And then when the scientists are saying certain things, you know, that you listen, try to understand, and look at the data. Because the others are just saying an opinion, and no matter how big scientist is somebody, how well respected, if there is no data to support what he says, you know, it is just an opinion. And I don't care about the opinion.
Everybody has their own sources and their own information. But if you can go and you can get the information for yourself and you can stand steadfast on that information and you know for sure that it is true, you can not only educate yourself, but you can educate the people around you.
I'm Babita Sharma. And you've been listening to the documentary Whose Truth, a Nobel Prize outreach and BBC World Service co-production. The series producers are Ian Rose and Claire Williamson with Philippa Goodrich. Our studio manager was Graham Puddyfoot. Thanks for listening to Whose Truth on the documentary from the BBC World Service. Stay with us on the documentary to hear more from the Nobel laureates.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle.
Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
The explanation from the BBC World Service.
What's actually going on here? Let's analyse it.
Making sense of the big stories.
As an economics reporter, what do you think the economic impact is?
Oh, it's massive.
And giving you an honest, unvarnished explanation of the world.
We'll look at our subject from several different angles to connect dots with the geopolitics.
And explain the trends behind the fast-changing media landscape.
Search for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.